Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Get the Table, another wrestling roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanfler and Michael Sidgwick, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. And today's issue is what needs to happen at NXT Vengeance Day. Now, Hanfler, this is of course the first time that NXT's gone on the road since Stand and Deliver over WrestleMania weekend. How do you think this show's going to be received?
Oh, that's a loaded question. By the people that are really into NXT, which we know to be a smaller number than the main roster, but a dedicated one. They've definitely established a
growing one.
Yeah, a growing one. It was a growth product in 2022. I think they'll be quite pleased with it. It's really hard to gauge, though, what the wider wrestling fan base view will be of this one. We review NXT every single week, but often it feels like we're the only ones watching it, let alone reviewing it. It doesn't tend to get coverage unless there's a particularly gifable moment or a shareable moment or something that almost like pierces the bubble of the wrestling media in general. So I would say to the hardcore fan base, I think we'll probably be quite satisfied with this because it feels like a big show. They're back in a big arena, as you point out, and there's stakes, that's the matches. But on paper, it's really hard to see where the, you know, zeitgeisty moment is coming from, where the thing that you talk about this month in wrestling, can't do it in years anymore. Mm. Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega was all the way back on January the 4th when it were all black and white. You know, we've since had like another match that could easily, maybe two or three on one Dynamite that could be match of the year. This doesn't feel like it's got that, but that's not to say it can't satisfy the base.
Yeah, and in terms of, like Hanfler alludes to there, getting discussed a little bit more, it says, you know, normally they've done a lot of these NXT premium live events or whatever you want to call them, on just the Tuesday night for the show. They've put it on a Saturday. It's a proper, they've taken it out of the performance center. It's going on the road and what have you. Does that make you lean perhaps more in the direction of a big title change on this show, Sidge?
I would certainly like to think so. No offense to Bron Breakker. I think you could put either champion or challenger on the main roster and they would get over and flourish because they both bring something really unique and captivating. They're two of the most entertaining acts on an incredibly uneven show.
Yes.
By definition, yeah. By definition, some of the wrestling on it is very, very poor. Some of the promos on it are very, very poor. But the appeal, I guess, other than getting some more money from the USA Network, is that the ultra-dedicated hardcores can watch someone be nothing and then watch them become somebody. These guys are already somebody. I think it's going to be very dramatic on the basis of it being in an arena. It's a WWE steel cage match. So for me, there's a ceiling on that quality. But Bron Breakker, I feel like he's done everything he can do as NXT champion. And his character can't really eat too many defeats before he doesn't become Bron Breakker anymore. So I would like to see the title switch. I can convince myself that there's going to be a title switch. And Grayson Waller could probably do with a little bit more time in NXT. Not because it's going to radically improve his wrestling ability or because he needs more character work or anything like that. The guy is a natural, so charismatic, got such a unique, not a unique character. If anything, he takes a pretty worn WWE character, the chicken heel, and he just vibrates around the place and is very charismatic about it. He doesn't just read his Wikipedia list. Like, he just gets high on his own obnoxious behavior. So I don't think he necessarily, as an act, needs more time in developmental, but I would love to watch him for like 6 months be the undisputed star of that show, to carry it, to do the show opening promos that they insist upon half of the time. I want to see him be the guy, because I don't necessarily see him as the guy in WWE. As talented as I think he is, I don't think he's the guy. I don't see him as this sort of ace figure in waiting that is just waiting to be coronated. But I didn't see that. I didn't see how much I would like him now, 6 months ago either. Mm. I think he continually evolves into the role. He feels bigger, more entertaining. Maybe 6 months with a belt could be the making of him. And that could be the role that he plays in the main roster in the next 5 years or so.
I'm intrigued by the story they've been telling with it as well, because it's been about, you know, Grayson Waller being in Bron Breakker's head rent-free, as some people may say. He's been winding up. They're running this back because, obviously, at the previous title match, Breakker smashed into the turnbuckle. That broke the ropes. They were sort of fixed, and then as it looked like Grayson Waller's about to win, the ropes broke again, spilled to the outside. Now Shawn Michaels has made this a steel cage match. Does that stipulation
not make the ladder match? You should have thought of that one.
Does the stipulation make you think a title change is more likely?
Yes. One of the inherent flaws I think most people find in WWE steel cage matches is that it becomes a climbing contest, or a babyface has to leave the fight in order to win. However, here you do at least have what is NXT's richest prize that could be won by Grayson Waller literally crawling on his hands and knees away from Bron Breakker. That is very much in keeping with these two characters. He can annoy Bron Breakker to the point where Bron Breakker can make one mistake. Look, he ran into a post in the first match. He could run into a steel cage the second time around. Then all Grayson Waller needs to do is crawl away. So it's very much in keeping with his character and what they would do with the heel. It's not something WWE have been shy of doing before with certain heels. They're a little bit less protective of their belts in that regard. They don't see it as a shameful way for a heel to win a title. You've got things like the Steve Austin victory over Vince McMahon when the Big Show threw him through the cage. A ring broke, so a cage can. You know, the precedent set for, like, things just go in Grayson Waller's way that gives Bron Breakker the perfect exit from NXT, which is something I think we've all forecast for a little while now. I will say, right, and there's other sort of evidence of this on this card. Back when Triple H was running this, what a lot of people consider NXT's peak, I don't personally, but around, say, 2018, as a super indie, these weren't wrestlers on these incredible takeover cards that were ever going to please Vince McMahon. Now, we know potentially it's not Vince McMahon that needs pleasing anymore, but there are very few of those types of wrestlers. This card is full of those prospects that, as Cedric points out, in Grayson Waller's case over 6 months, in Bronze over 12, and in various different cases, are mostly in-house prospects that might stand a chance on the main roster. Mm. It is, if nothing else, on this card alone, looking like a more effective developmental model for WWE long-term. I do think Waller wins. But the 6 months to 12 months with the title is seasoning rather than seeing if he can sink or float.
On the quality, before we move on, very, very quickly, I'd like to see them go the San Martino route with a cage match just once. Mm. The idea being that it kind of makes sense for the babyface to willingly leave the cage after he's just battered his opponent. And the idea is he takes mercy on them.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. He beats someone up, which is what the public want the baby faces to do, but they can't be too savage about it because they're meant to be honourable blokes. So beat them up to a pulp and then show mercy on Waller, who might get respect for taking the beating, like round out what at present is a pretty one-dimensional act, and then leave the cage. Like, make it a bit more timeless.
Mm.
Don't do a climbing contest. But Waller's whole thing is that he loves to go viral at the expense of championships and all the rest of it. So he's going to do something stupid off the top cage, off the top of the cage. Phil, do that thumbnail. So that's what he's going to do. Can you do one of the ones where, like, there's blood everywhere and, like, his legs have been chopped off by a chainsaw? It's like, that happened? I have to watch that. No, it didn't.
But it's NXT, so they could legit question. Is that what's going on down there now?
Bron Breakker, more than ready to move to the main roster. Someone else who arguably is, and she appeared in the Royal Rumble match, of course, is Roxanne Perez, NXT Women's Champion. She's defending it in a triple threat against the two remaining members of Toxic Attraction. I think she retains in this one, though.
Yeah, they've kind of created, it's WWE stuff, they've created a viable, easy win, but in a way that if you just suspend your disbelief beyond the point of no return, you can think, oh, she's really under pressure here because it's a handicap match, effectively. Roxanne Perez wowed people in that Royal Rumble. You could hear it in the building. I think Sid, you mentioned Pat McAfee sounded audibly disappointed on commentary that she'd been eliminated. She's looked a level above from the day she walked into the Performance Center and onto the show. And I'm glad she's got the title now. And whilst there is, there's a certain feeling that she's going to be here for a good time rather than a long one, because the main roster women's division desperately needs someone like Roxanne Perez right now. I don't think this is a match where she loses the title. The building is good for it. Like, she's going to get the type of response that, Royal Rumble aside, she's not really been able to get in WWE yet, because they do operate at that Performance Center most weeks. So it's going to be nice to see her yet again performing in front of a slightly bigger crowd. But Toxic Attraction, truthfully, at this point, are a novelty heel act. They're not the stable they were. They didn't have that, like, fake feeling, but dominance nonetheless, because of title reigns when Mandy Rose was there and they all had belts. So yeah, Roxanne Perez to win, and it's more about just how good she can make this, I think.
Yeah, I don't have high hopes for the match quality here. I just don't see enough in Toxic Attraction from the tag team matches. Like, can you name, hand on heart, a classic or even excellent, really, really strong Toxic Attraction tag team title match? No. I can't recall one. Nothing stands out. Roxanne Perez, tell you what, if nothing else from this match, you'll get a true indication of just how far she can go in this company. I think she can go to the very top. She's incredible at such a tender age. And I'm not saying that Toxic Attraction are useless performers, but I don't think they are at the high end of the women's scene in North America. And I think Roxanne Perez, I think this is like a challenge. Mm. As much as they think, as much as they want to sell it, it's like a captivating story and the odds are against her. It wouldn't surprise me if this is a political challenge given to Roxanne Perez by the NXT management team to say, right, okay, well, can you make something out of this? Mm. It's a trial. NXT is developmental, a brand unto itself, a weird hybrid of the two, but they definitely, definitely give pretty obnoxious stories on purpose to their top stars. Like, you'll never convince me that Breaker wasn't being tested with the Gacy stuff.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's talk about the tag team title matches. You've got Katana Chance and Kaden Carter taking on sort of odd couple tag team, Fallon Henley and Kiana James, with the classic WWE question, Hamlet: can they coexist?
No, and yet I think they might win.
Yeah.
I sense that there's, we'll get to it, I guess, another potential dramatic split happening elsewhere on this card, so it's not going to be in this one. The problem is with this match is that there is no way the tag team champion should lose. No way at all. They're established as friends. They're the longest standing team on this brand, to the point where they existed before the belts did, this tag team. And yet, they're not really involved in this story. They're the passengers in the angle that is taking place between their challengers. I think you've got the fact, it's not good optics here, but But unfortunately, the challenges will be defined by what's going on with the men in their lives currently. And I could see that playing into them getting the big win. For those that don't watch NXT, and it might be a lot of people listening to this podcast, there is a situation occurring where you've got two challenges where Fallon Henley owns a bar and Kiana James wants to buy it.
It's the best.
Don't ask me what that is to do with this tag team title match, but that's what's happening in their lives that actually matters. They'll put that those differences to one side for the night and they'll get it done and the celebration will take place in the bar. It's all for the heel, Kiana James, to ultimately take the bar from underneath Fallon Henley. I'm talking about a bar. Like, that's what's happening. I'm talking about a bar. There's now a relationship that's been folded, a romantic relationship that's been folded into the storyline as well. The belts are secondary to all of this nonsense, but the nonsense is what matters every Tuesday night, so I think the titles are changing hands.
They're fighting over shampoo all over again.
But every angle is fighting over shampoo in NXT.
It's going to be surreal watching this one play out in an arena.
Yes. Like,
more so than any other match.
All four women go, oh God, it's a wrestling match.
Yeah, I know. We've got this very endearing, affectionate relationship towards NXT, and it's not necessary on this podcast anyway. Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, wherever, where we have a perverse enjoyment of certain storylines that unfold on it. This is about a bar. The person who wants to buy the bar, plot twist, the friend of the bar owner wants to chuck his muck up her. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters to the writing staff of NXT.
Champions basically walked into shot on Tuesday and were like, title match? Guess so.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Matches, who wins, who loses, it's all secondary. It's going to be positively surreal, like to a quite sobering degree, watching this happen in an arena. As you said, Hamflet, it's about wrestling. It's about wrestling. It's going to be strange as well to see the reactions. Like, who's going to go to this show? Like, the people who actually watch it or see the WWE branding on it? Yeah. If 4,000 people go crazy at this match, it might completely alter my perception about this entire brand. Very interested to see, like, the reaction this gets.
Yes, over to you, Charlotte, North Carolina. And I think you'll find, technically, the way they got the tag title match was one of the blokes got it for him.
Yes,
Jensen said.
Can't have agency. Yeah. I forgot about that. It was the bloke who wants to blow his beans up.
Kiana James.
Yeah.
I'm nervous to talk about the next match, the NXT Tag Team Championship match, with three great teams in there: New Day, Gallus, Pretty Deadly, and Chase U. I'll leave it to you to guess which one we are not as big a fans of as the others. You know who I'm rooting for in this match is. Of course, Chase U all the way, but there's also that spectre of, could Duke Hudson maybe not be what he's pretending to be?
This is starting to feel like the weirdest podcast. Remember when we would occasionally do those like G1 primers, where it's like, no, if you're in New Japan, or how like the maths work, or like, this is the crack. We're doing that for this nonsense. Chase U, for anybody that hasn't seen NXT, Andre Chase is a lecturer at a university that exists within the body of the Performance Center that has three students.
Chase U!
But Duke Hudson,
there's more in the crowd.
That's right, yeah. Sorry, they have a gang at various points.
Are they wrestlers? Or are they just on a university course about wrestling?
He's training them to become wrestlers on his university course, and he's won two matches ever.
Which he can also sack them from.
Yes, he can just get rid of people from the university.
That at uni, basically.
The university.
We're taking the piss, but Andre Chase is great.
He's the best.
It's a terrible role, that he is great in.
Yeah, which is the case with a lot of these NXT characters, I guess, caricatures. Duke Hudson, speaking of caricatures, was a failed poker player in his NXXT lifespan. And has
got dealt a bad hand.
And has been looking for direction. And found it, seemingly, in Chase U. But we have seen, not through any kind of hidden camera, but for the massive WWE one, that he doesn't really like it. And he's just waiting for his opportunity to turn on Andre Chase. Luckily for Duke Hudson, Andre Chase never watches NXT because he's busy marking his papers, presumably. Nor does Thea Hale, this genuinely, earnestly brilliant babyface.
Oh. Do they study their own tape for progression in their education?
He makes them watch like Halloween Havoc 1995 or something, like, because that's what this week's exam's on.
Shouldn't you be watching like your own mistakes and things? Well, and that way you could detect that Duke Hudson isn't quite on the up and up.
I assume that's why NXT grew in 2022, because all the students from Chase U were watching it.
Maybe.
Inflating the numbers. Anyway, we're being flippant, but that's where the heat is in this
one. I love
it. The New Day.
The heat?
I'm jumping to like the tag team champions, the New Day, right? Are the tag team champions and shouldn't be under threat here whatsoever. Pretty Deadly, legitimately great. Another act that we all think are kind of main roster ready, really. Mm-hmm. They're
great.
They came from NXT UK, which doesn't seem possible, quite frankly, but like they could have skipped
They're entertaining.
I know, yeah. Speaking of NXT UK not being entertaining, Gallus are there. Anyway, the New Day defend the titles, and you kind of expect them to win because this feels like the platform more for the Chase University split, and Duke Hudson to reveal that he's not such a great guy. Andre Chase can sell it with anger in the weeks to come, but it's going to be Thea Hale's heartbreak that I think is the emotional core, and yours, actually, the emotional core of this one.
You like the close of the Royal Rumble, basically, all over again.
But bigger and better and more talked about. New Day to win, hopefully by pinning Gallus, and Chase Utah split after the fact.
New Day retain here?
Who's in the match again?
New Day, Gallus, Pretty Deadly, and Chase U.
These multi-man or multi-person matches usually exist when you want to tell some stories with the rest of the field, but just keep it on the champion. I don't care, ultimately, who wins. And that is a problem with a lot of WWE programming. Pretty Deadly were great crack. Remember when I had the belts, used to do this thing, and it was side play check. So, yes, I want to see that again. It was really funny. Yeah, like, Pretty Deadly are genuinely a good act. WWE main roster fans will eat them up.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't want them to win because it might hasten their promotion to the main roster if they're not saddled down by gold, which is a weird phrase, but it exists in NXT somehow.
Yeah. I'm going to go Chase U, of course. I think everything's fine. Right, Sid, you punk rat. Who do you think leads as North American champion between Wesley and Dijak?
In this match between Wesley and Donovan Dickhead, I think that it would be genuinely really good. Like, genuinely, I think it'll be class. Like, Dijak's usual stock in trade is having Brian Cage adjacent matches as this big daft hoss who can really do spectacular things. Not necessarily like amazingly crafted, like compelling story matches, but he'll make your jaw drop once or twice throughout. Wesley might be the most underrated professional wrestler in that entire company. There are a few people who don't get their flowers, as the kids say. I'm 37. I think Wesley being on NXT doesn't get talked about enough. Sorry to use horrible Twitter speak because no one talks about NXT. But that could work in this match's favor because I think it'll take people by surprise because it will be tremendous. Is it too... How long has Wesley had this title?
Not long at all.
Not long.
Defended against Tony D.
Back end of last year, wasn't it? He won it. Like, one of the TV specials, I think. Mm.
It's one of those where, like, I don't subscribe to, you know, you have to be a big guy to win titles, or you lose your credibility if you lose to a small guy. It's not the 1990s anymore. I'm very tired. I know this for a fact. But for his particular character and his size, I don't think it does him any favours, certainly, if he loses this. I'll go with Dijak.
I think they've built him up so much. I think Dijak's going to win here, and potentially Wesley could lose upwards if you're putting the title on Grayson Waller, perhaps.
Yeah. Maybe actually Wesley. I think this is the thing with like Wesley as a babyface champion. It was never, I don't think it was ever really about the run so much as it was him finding the redemption as a singles wrestler. And it was a very nice moment for him to get that. But he's really great in ring, and he is somebody that is going to put somebody over in defeat. I'm thinking with Sid here, like Dijak needs this for this character. NXT has had a bad habit, and I guess this is sort of tacitly putting over the book in a little bit, of establishing a gimmick or a character as somebody that is a real threat to everybody and then losing almost instantly, and you never really get that back. You know, Dijak has survived a burn from Von Wagner this week, so the last thing you want to do now is pin him, because who can absorb that in 1 week? Like, I think he wins the title here. Wesley could be like a low-key earlier call-up than you think.
Yeah.
I think on the main roster
could
as well.
Could be goated as well.
He could be goated. Wesley's cooking right now.
Yeah.
And so is Triple H. His WrestleMania plans, that is. He could want more bodies for that show if he wants to sort of start thinking about Money in the Bank contenders, post-WrestleMania surprise pushes, all that kind of thing. Like, I think Wesley could be one of those.
Finally, one name that we constantly talk about as wanting to lose so that they can go to the main roster is Carmelo Hayes, a bit like Wesley, maybe overlooked by certain people because they don't know what a talent he is due to him being in this version of NXT. But his work with Apollo Crews has been brilliant. Trick Williams as well deserves a mention in all this. 2 out of 3 falls. Arguably, this match could be on the main roster.
Could be. They'll be chasing that kind of acclaim with this. They'll be wanting Match of the Night honours at a minimum. Basically, the expectations will be high for this. Apollo Crews' reinvention, it's been unspectacular, but really impressive at the same time. Like, he needed the freshest possible start after a kind of a main roster run that fizzled a couple of times. And it's gone really well. He plays the veteran figure that, like, kind of is able to stay over himself regardless of how results go. He just feels super, super credible. And Carmelo Hayes has been, but without maybe other opponents to bounce off all the time that matches credibility. He's had a good run, but not a great one, because I think sometimes he's put in that gatekeeper role rather than just getting the opportunity to get over himself. This is 2 out of 3 falls. He's going to get to be both. He's going to get to show that he's had this brand pretty much to himself for quite a long time, but Apollo Crews is now the veteran. By beating him, he's going to have done the lot, at least in one fall. But in losing, he can also go. So they can kind of, over 2 out of 3 falls, they can kind of have the cake and eat it with the Carmelo Hayes character, and I hope they do. Like, I always, it's like you say, I always want him to lose, but only because I want him to get the biggest win, exactly. Which is the bigger audience.
Yeah, do you think Melo hopefully loses so he moves onto the main roster?
It's not unlike NXT Redemption, NXT 2.0, which it basically still is.
Yeah.
You want people to lose that you like, which is complete, runs totally contrary to what you should feel about professional wrestling, but it's in this weird vacuum, a law unto itself, if you like. Yeah, I want Carmelo Hayes to lose. I want him on the main roster. I want Trick Williams on that main roster. I think Trick Williams could go out there in front of a crowd of like 10,000 people and make them all pop their tits off with his incredible patter. Like, he's so funny. He's so charismatic. Hayes is just great. He's got the lot. He's very funny. Great in the ring, just has this commanding superstar presence. I think the world of that double act, and I want to see it be as big as it could possibly be. So I hope he loses in 2 falls in 5 minutes. What are we doing here?
Well, Apollo Crews, for those that don't know, what he did pick up since going to NXT was the ability to literally see the future.
Yeah.
And he said that he saw that they were going to win. So if he doesn't win, then his powers are useless.
Just on Apollo Crews as well, like, I know NXT is not the most watched show or the most talked about show, certainly in terms of my timeline. Everyone's is different. Everyone has a completely different lens.
Your Twitter one, not your shoot one. It's all we can talk about.
Apollo Crews, I think, would almost stun people who only are familiar with him from his main roster days. The guy is such a cool sort of easygoing presence with a lot of credibility. This is going to be a work rate match. It's going to be very, very good at a minimum.
Yeah.
It's almost, if this is like below the 3.5-star level, which it won't be, it'll scan as a major disappointment.
Yeah.
So there are big expectations for this.
I think Apollo Crews wins because, again, he could be a great opponent for Grayson Waller or Dijak, challenging for their championships going forward. And as with both of you, I want Melo, Trick Williams on the main roster. But let us know your thoughts, your predictions ahead of NXT Vengeance Day this weekend on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
It's Roddy Piper. Soccer at top's quite nice, isn't it? WrestlingVintage.com. Follow me. At M. Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Like, share, subscribe, discuss it more in the comments. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, including our review of this show on Monday. But enjoy NXT Vengeance Day. My thanks to the Dadley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.